told me he worked in Spalding's before I came in the Marine Corps. And he said that he was hit in Anwar, which is south of Denain. He was had been walking the point in a platoon or in a group that are going out on reconnaissance or anything like that. It is the most dangerous position, and the point men don't usually last too long. But he I don't know how long he'd been a point man, because I didn't ask him how long he'd been in country. But he said he was walking the point, and his senior man said he'd take it over for a while. So he did. And the senior man walked through this area, and then he walked right behind him and took the mine and lost those legs. But as I said, he seems to be taking it quite well. Certainly didn't seem sorry for himself or anything like that. And just said he was lucky to be alive. But that's the attitude of most of the kids out here anyway. I guess when they get home, maybe the bitterness and the disappointment and the anxiety sets in. And I'm sure the attitude of the family must affect their thinking a great deal. So I stopped. I had work last night. I didn't finish up until about 9 or 10 o'clock. And I stopped by to say goodbye to him and wish him a good journey home. We were busy last night. We had some cases, bad cases. And then about, I had been downstairs all day, you know, and about 9 or 10 o'clock. It started to get a little bit breezy out. So I decided I'd go out on deck for a while. One man was out taking night pictures. He had an old camera with a tripod. Oh, everybody on board ship except your daughter is a mad photographer. Being that I just have my little old Instamatic, but I'm happy with it. And he was out taking pictures anyway, the flares and the Freedom Hill and everything. So I was out with him. And he went down to get a telephoto lens or something. And I was standing on the port side of the ship. All of a sudden, I was talking to one of the men from the Mastered Arms boy. And all of a sudden, there was a tremendous explosion on the beach. Just a great big orange cloud and all kinds of green and silver spots, like, you know, you see from the 4th of July firecrackers, you know. You go to a firework display, and a tremendous explosion. And an ammunition dump had been rocketed. I don't know if anyone was hurt. Anyhow, by the time he came out, I said, gee, if I'd known how to picture, work your camera, I'd have gotten a picture for you. But, of course, I would have damaged whatever I did, you know. So he took pictures of the firing afterwards, which was nothing in comparison to what it was initially. And it was quite a sight, it really was. To just see them, just to see the whole thing go up like that. And our chief nurse was ashore, and she said there was a red alert that night. Well, then we saw red flares all over the place, you know, that means enemy sighted. And she said that she was, there was an alert, everybody had to go to their bunkers when this thing blew. And then a couple nights ago, we were standing out on deck watching him fire, watching the cruiser fire, and fairly close, I guess. Boy, they were really pounding in there. And then up on the hill, I can't remember where it was now, what hill, although I know all those hills, you know. There were fires burning. Apparently they had decided the enemy were trying to smoke them out. Side of some VC. The VC had, I don't know whether it was near Danang, north of Danang, or landing zone or where, but anyhow, during the night they had come in and cut the wire, but they hooked it together again so that it didn't look like it had been cut. And well, of course, it's guerrilla warfare. The day that they decided to attack, they just had to cut this wire in a strategic place and down the barbed wire went. And then a lot of them didn't even have to get to their bunkers. They were throwing satchel charges. which I understand is a plastic type of child. You know, it's a mental talk about this. I don't know what they are. And a lot of them didn't even have a chance to get into the bunkers. So there were quite a few casualties in that, and quite a few KIAs. And, there was a good bit of firing and rocketing in the other night. I could see, high rockets. And so we don't know how much longer this is going to last. I don't think that the Vietcong have enough power. They think that this is kind of growing or wide, but they don't think they're going to be doing enough to create any kind of disturbance like they have in the past. But we'll see. We're supposed to go up Monday again, as I said, since you're supposed to be Pacific, we're supposed to go up to the Pine Tree on Monday, I hope. If we're able to make it all right. But, they just had been, just these past few days, they really rocketed and flagged when they could. One of the girl's father, I'm sure I mentioned, Kenny Hammond's father's over there. He came aboard the ship day before yesterday. She's been quite concerned and sent a radio message out. And he said few of them had been hit, but he had, been wounded and got hit and had any sleeping days. And she said, look, she just never had seen him look so bad. But at least he was okay, and she was happy about that. So, he's going to have to take a look at social schedule again, I'm sitting in the building every evening, but I haven't been building because I run a little crazy about this stuff anyway, and I just am not that enthusiastic about going and getting rocketed or being on red alert. I don't mind watching from the ship, but I'm not that crazy about being there. What other news do I have for you? Not much. I feel really feel well. I'll fly over an office box tomorrow night. I'm just really happy at the time. And everything was good out here. And I had no complaints. Time is getting short. Wow. I don't know how much longer I'll be out here. I'll be home when I get there, I guess. So that's about the only thing I can tell you. I didn't do much sleeping. I had my day off. I did pack a couple of boxes and bedroom and I washed my